Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Tom Eliff to the podcast. Dr. Eliff is the founder of Living in the Word Publications, a former pastor for 42 years, former president of the International Mission Board, and a former missionary to Zimbabwe. Dr. Eliff, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. I'm delighted to join you.
Well, I have been looking forward to this conversation for some time, and we'll be talking today about the preacher and the power of words. The preacher and the power of words. And I recall very clearly a sermon you preached on the campus of Southern Seminary, where I was serving at that time, from the book of James, a sermon entitled The Curse of Words. And from that sermon and that idea, you built out a little book in the years since. And so today we'll be talking about really that topic, that theme, the preacher and the power of words. But listen, before we get into that, Dr. Eliff, how about a word of update for our listeners about what you're doing now? Of course, you served for many decades as a pastor in First Baptist Church of Del City. Many of us came to know you from that pulpit ministry and then served IMB as senior vice president and then a stint as president of the IMB. And so what's it like now? You've served in all those positions. Now, I know that we are reluctant to use the word retired. You're still very active in ministry, preaching all the time. So what's it like this stage of life serving the Lord, and what's new in your life and ministry?
I will tell you, Dr. Allen, this is a rather delicious stage of life for me. Yes, we remain quite busy and traveling, speaking, training, working some, and training with International Mission Board, with whom I had the privilege of serving for some time, and then preaching all the time, and I say all the time, a lot of the time, in churches around the country and leading conferences and speaking at seminars. And it is just a delight. I am thoroughly enjoying it. Writing, in fact, this very day, I'm working on a manuscript about how to run strong and finish well with your family and your faith and your future. And I love doing that as well. So busy days and enjoyable days. Some of your listeners may know that back in 2015, my wife of 49 years, Jeannie, passed away after a nine-year battle with breast cancer. And then 2 years later, in June of 2016, I was led to a wonderful lady, the wife, formerly of Wayne Barber. Many of your listeners will know Wayne Barber's name. He was the men's teacher for Precepting Precept Ministries, pastor of Woodland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, a great heart, a great conference speaker, a wonderful author. And God brought Diana together, Diana and me together. Wayne passed away of Lou Gehrig's disease after about a four-year bout of Lou Gehrig's disease. And when God brought us together, we have so many friends, and the focus of our life is so much in common. This has been a wonderful season of life for us as well.
Well, praise the Lord for that. And those of us who know you know something of that story and how the Lord brought Diana into your life, and we rejoice with you and the joy He's given you this stage of life. Listen, let's talk about the power of words. Help us to understand, Dr. Eliff. Again, we're talking in particular to preachers, to ministers, to seminary students preparing for ministry. How does the Bible view the power of words, both negatively and positively?
Well, I think the first thing we would need to study, if we want to broach, deal with that entire subject, we begin by asking what a word is, and then we talk about how it can be used both positively and negatively. Words are powerful. I mean, it's no significance, it's no little significance, but that God spoke this universe into existence. And it's no little significance that Jesus himself is called the embodiment of the nature of God, which is His Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God. word, the way you communicate what is in the heart, the expression of the word is incredibly powerful. And of course, the Bible then begins to talk in many places about how words can be used both negatively and positively. And the book to which you refer, and I'm sure we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that book, but the book to which you refer is one in which, at the outset, I spoke about the fact that over the years, I began to realize that I could remember five statements. Some of them had been made directly to me, like the "you will never" or "you're just like." One of them was a statement that I had just overheard when three men, for whom I have incredible respect, they were speaking and they were talking about a fellow preacher, and one of them made a statement, and I just sucked that in just like you'd suck in passive smoke. And over the years, it began to work a malignancy in my own life. And then there are other words that are just spoken casually. I began to realize that these five statements, though I was years away from them and miles away, they continued to have an impact on my life. And so in that sense, they became, what it says in the book of James chapter 3, they had become something of a curse to me. I know when Jesus died, he overcame the curse of sin, which is death. But, of course, James says, with the tongue we bless God and we curse men. And I just have referred to those as the curse of words and talked about how, in that book, about how they could be, that curse could be broken and you could be set free from those statements. I have found out, Dr. Allen, that everywhere I go, I meet many, many people who labor under the curse of words. You know, they were told things when they were children that, I remember one lady telling me that her mother told her at the breakfast table when she was just a girl in grade school. She said, "Now, honey, go back and comb your hair out. Your eyes are too far apart." Well, her mother wasn't intending to do harm, but if I told you the story of how that played itself out, how she became obsessed with, first she tried to comb her hair, and finally then she began to just always look down, and then she became mad at her mother, then she became mad at God, and the whole story of how this played out in her life, how powerful was that statement made casually at the breakfast table?
You know, going back to that story you mentioned a moment ago about overhearing a couple of ministers who you respect, and as I recall, I remember you sharing a touch more on that, and it was something to the effect of those ministers made a comment about another minister, and then kind of the punchline was, you know, I've observed that once God takes his hand off a man, his ministry, like he never puts it back on. Am I remembering that correctly?
You have a good, sharp memory, Dr. Allen. You don't want to be a seminary president. I'll be honest with you, that's exactly what happened. And years later, after we had come home from the mission field because of an accident in which my daughter was severely injured, and I began praying about, well, what should I do? Should I enter the pastorate? Should we go back to mission field? Should I become an evangelist, traveling evangelist? What should I do? In the back of my mind, I kept hearing words of that man, and I had consummate respect for that man. I kept hearing his words, well, you know, God ever takes his hand off a man, he never puts his back on a man again. And I thought, well, are my best days over? Can I only press forward to the past? And I had to deal with that.
So I want to take that lesson you learned and apply it to our listeners today, because I suppose what made those words so provocative to you, so heavy for you, was the fact they were spoken by ministers who you respected. You know, we have listened to this podcast, pastors, hundreds of pastors, thousands of ministers who listen to this podcast monthly, and their words carry similar weight to people in their church, congregants, members of their ministries. And pastors may say something that in their mind is something of a throwaway line or throwaway statement, but it comes with added weight because it's being spoken from a minister's tongue. Mm-hmm. What do you say to pastors listening about the weight of their words?
Well, Well, I would say, first of all, for themselves, for their own health, spiritual health, it is imperative to weigh everything they hear against what the Word of God says. And we could make a whole other program and talk about the Word of God as it relates to filling your heart and your mind with God's opinion, not man's opinion, God's facts, not man's assessment or assumptions. And I think it's of no little significance that many men, probably many men who are listening to this broadcast, would say that some of the things that hurt them the most have been those asides that someone spoke, maybe the last thing before going out the door of church on Sunday morning. Well, Pastor, you know, a lot of us think this, or a lot of us think that. And isn't it interesting? It paints a picture on the wall of that man's heart, and he begins to fret about it and can stew about it through the week and assume. But where did that come from? That came from the adversary. And so it's important for a pastor to first of all, know how to judge the words that are spoken to or around or of him by others. But in a similar fashion, it is imperative for a pastor to say things that are consistent with the Scripture himself and to say them at the right time and in the right way. Because after all, preaching is the sharing of the Word of God. And sometimes a man's own words can take precedence over the Word of God and do incredible damage to other people.
Well, especially when one is in the act of preaching itself, right? I mean, ministers have a certain credibility, at least typically in the local church, and that extends to hallway conversations and pastoral visits and discipleship settings and all the rest. But when one is preaching, folks are especially expecting to hear the Word of God and almost pre-inclined to conflate what is an opinion or what is a reflection from the man in the pulpit with the Word of God. And so it seems to me there's almost double duty for vigilance in that moment. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think thus the need for a studied approach to his message. His own study needs to be considered by him as if it were a workshop of sorts. And he is diligently preparing to share the Word of God in such a way that what people hear is not his opinion, but what people hear is, in fact, what God actually says. I have often used this illustration. If you were a hungry man and I wanted to feed you, but all I had was an orange, well, I would hold that orange up. You would recognize it immediately. Well, I wouldn't, if I wanted to feed you, I wouldn't go jam it down your mouth. The first thing I would do would be to peel back the rind of that orange. Think here of the context. Sometimes we say context is king. So I would peel back that rind, the context, and then inside would be those segments in the case of an orange rather neatly divided. Well, I still wouldn't jam it down your throat. I would let that fall apart and feed it to you if I loved you and cared for your health. I would feed it to you a bite at a time. Well, Dr. Allen, I see that as the pastor's responsibility to pull back the context of the Scripture and then bit by bit in an expository fashion feed that to his congregation.
Dr. Eliff, let's pause just for a moment. We have a brief word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's Doctor of Ministry degree program is your next step in training for local ministry. The Doctor of Ministry program at Midwestern Seminary is designed to equip and train leaders with a commitment to the local church. With multiple emphases available, including counseling, church revitalization, expository preaching, leadership, and missions, among others, your program provides the equipping you need in practical theology for direct church work and ministry leadership. And because all of our doctoral programs are modular, you don't have to leave your current ministry to pursue your degree. For more information, visit mbts.edu today. That's mbts.edu.
All right, I'm back recording today with Dr. Tom Eliff. We're talking about the preacher and the power of words. So let's flip the coin here. We've been talking about the importance of the words that come out of the pastor's mouth, but I want to talk about words that are spoken to pastors. And look, we all have been there. I have pastored a church for many years, churches for many years, you for many decades. And on more than one occasion, it's been a few minutes before the service is about to start. And your mind is on your sermon. Mm-hmm. Your mind is on the worship of the Lord. Your mind is on all the Lord has entrusted you to undertake during that hour of worship. And you're about to step into the sanctuary for the service to begin, and someone comes up to you and complains about a staff member, or comes up to you and is upset about a decision the church has recently made, or perhaps more pointedly, they are upset with you and about something you did, something you said. How do you file that away? How do you not let that hijack your heart in that moment and upset you and compromise your ability to preach and to worship? How have you learned to handle that over the decades, Dr. Aleph?
Dr. Allen, I feel like that my own concept of what I'm about to do has everything to do with how I receive statements such as that. No man can fully protect himself. In fact, sometimes I think it's important that he not protect himself. Jesus didn't always. I mean, he was among people. He spoke among people. He heard them. He heard what they had to say. I don't think a pastor ought to overdo that because he needs his time with God. But I will say this. I have discovered that I am more vulnerable when I have not so wrestled with the Word of God that I believe that what I have in my heart to share with the people before me is of paramount importance. Then I come into the pulpit, you know, rather casually, walk into the auditorium rather casually. I may have done my study rather casually or carelessly. And so someone can hijack me with some stupid statement and usually saying, you know, a lot of folks, they'll try to, rather than, you know, take responsibility themselves, they'll couch it in, you know, many of us. And so a pastor, he's got to so wrestle with the Word that the one thing that he's got in him, that he's got to carry this load, this burden to the pulpit and share the Word of God. If he's got that message, the rest of that stuff is going to mean very little to him. But if he hasn't done that, if he's just saying, well, okay, I'm hearing the Scripture and this is what I'm going to do, and I want to preach a sermon on this, and, you know, it may fly and it may not fly, well, that man is open to... He's fair game for the devil, I believe. We are talking about the most important thing in the world. I mean, I tears in my eyes talking to you about this. This is the Word of the living God. How in the world should we step into the book casually, thinking that, you know, this might help people and maybe it might not help people? No, it is the very thing they must have in order to live on. It is alive. It is powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. I've got to deliver that. I am a surgeon in an emergency situation. There might be a lot of other things going on, but I am totally oblivious to them because I must preach the Word of God.
Well said. So let's tease this out a touch more about words that someone says to the minister. We've talked about, you know, the 5 minutes before the service, some coming up to complain or to speak a harsh word that could be very upsetting. On the other side of that equation, after the service, when people come up to you and tell you you're the next Billy Graham, and look, we all appreciate a good compliment, especially a beleaguered pastor. But how do we right-size that? What value should we place upon the praise of men?
Jesus is really clear about that, about how we handle the praise of men, and the Scripture is full of admonitions. In fact, the Bible says that God resists the proud. The Bible also says that with flattery, a net is spread for a man's feet, and all that person has to do is say good things, and he can trip the guy up really really quickly. And so I remember very clearly that one year when my wife and I were sitting on the platform of the Southern Baptist Convention, and I was getting ready to bring the, you know, the president's message at the convention. Now, there were some big shots who happened to have come there. I don't mean just big shots preachers, but there was a politician or two and some others. And here the place was packed, and, you know, it was pretty impressive. And I was about to get up my first time before them, and she leaned over to me and she said, "Remember, you're just a goober." That was her way of saying, you know, don't get the big head. It's not about all this stuff. It's about you taking the time to share the Word of God as He's placed it on your heart. And I think, Dr. Allen, the answer for most of the things that ail us are more time in the Word of God. When a man spends a proper amount of time in the Word of God, he very easily can drop a plumb line in his heart by which to measure what other people say. And he'll quickly see that flattery, you know, is not going to profit him. And he's read that in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has tattooed that across his heart. Now, if he doesn't spend much time in the Word of God, yeah, he's looking for compliments. He's looking for somebody to build him up. And he is, yeah, he's ready to be tripped up. That's exactly how the devil uses that flattery in our lives. So I would say it's time in the Word of God. I would also say, Dr. Allen, that you and I and every one of us need honest people in our lives. And I mean the people who also spend time in the Word of God, but who will speak the truth to us and keep things in perspective.
Now, that is well said, and that's an appropriate place to land the conversation today. Dr. Elif, I appreciate your ministry so much, you personally so much, and the way the Lord has used you over so many decades now. Thank you for being my guest on Preaching and Preachers.
It's a delight to be with you, and you know that respect is mutual. God bless you, Dr. Allen. I'm so thrilled with what God's doing through your life and through the life at Midwestern Seminary, and I'm not saying that to trip you up, but to tell you the truth.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you so much, and we look forward to the next opportunity to visit. Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.